This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 306. So I'm watching TV the other day, and my good pal Steve Butts, state rep, shows up, and it's this feature about whistleblowing and about misspending money and such. And I immediately texted Andrew, I'm like, get Butts on the show. So he's here with us again. Good to see you, my friend.
Dave, good to see you. Kevin, Rachel.
Congratulations on your 10th grandchild.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Little boy in Southern California, so it's really great.
And awesome. We're saying that you have six kids, and for the Butts, that's you're not really pulling your weight.
I'm the Slacker. Oldest of 11. Let's see, of all my siblings, I do have the most kids.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Bunch of them have five, but we're the only ones with six.
And if you put a newsboy cap on this newborn, he looks exactly like you.
Yeah,
he really does. You and I look like a lot of babies.
It's correct, we do.
Every baby I see, the baby's looking at me like you're a giant. What do you go, buck 75? Damn. So start at the beginning. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I'm intrigued by it. And I, of course, have great trust in you. So how did this thing come to be?
I mean, here's how it came to be. So I think most people hopefully have heard of, you know, the ARPA funds program that the federal government, thanks to the Biden administration, went out to a bunch of cities to help them recover from the whole pandemic. The city of St. Louis just uniquely got $500 million, I'm going to round things off, but just to spend on important infrastructure, rebuild back businesses, all kinds of things. Part of that is this SLDC, which is the City's Development Corporation, was to have grants to businesses, small businesses primarily, and small nonprofits in North St. Louis. $37 million was set aside for these grants. I'm just watching the news. I know I'm an old guy like you, Dave, so I'm watching the 10 o'clock news.
There you go.
And I get the post delivered every day and listen to KMOX, so you know the demographic on that. Yeah. So anyway, no, so the story broke. The first one I saw, you know, on Channel 2 and Channel 5, that some of these grants went to vacant buildings or downright fraudulent organizations that didn't exist. And Mark Maxwell, in particular, was standing on a vacant lot saying, well, this is a school, quote unquote, and next to it is this dilapidated building that's the Mississippi River Museum. And they knock on the door next door, and the guy said, yeah, there's no museum there. There's some drug deals going on in that vacant house, but there's no museum. So I'm like, that's really weird. And then the Post did some really great reporting on a series of articles on who were these people, how were they properly or improperly vetted in some cases. So that's what started it. And I thought, this is crazy. I'm sure everybody's looking into this, but I'm in Jeff City pretty often. So all I did was print out three or four of the Post articles, et cetera. Had a meeting with a really solid representative at the state auditor's office. And I said, hey, I'm a state rep from the city, but I'm a Missouri taxpayer, a lifelong city resident. I'm sure you've had at least 50 complaints on this program, but I think you should look into it. And the guy said, we're going to treat it as a whistleblower complaint. We haven't had anybody bring it to us. Wow. And all I did was, you know, you think a whistleblower, normally, you know, you work on the inside or you got some inside information. I'm just reading the Post and doing my regular due diligence. So that's how it started. And it's really taken on a life of its own, to the point that SLDC, whose president is Neil Richardson, they've kind of done a pause on the program, tried to deflect some blame, and this was all very public, on a third-party administrator, I think, called Grow USA, that was supposed to vet these awardees. And I'm like, I think they got paid something like $350,000 plus. And I'm like, well, they didn't even Google Earth the addresses. So that's weird. Then as a way to just to follow up, I think that SLDC wanted to make everybody feel better because there was a lot of angry people that didn't get grants. And that's always going to be the case,
sure,
right? because not everybody's going to get a grant. But they kind of said, well, let's make peace and we'll just give everybody $12,500. I'm like,
St. Louis
like,
way.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a mafia shakedown. It's a hush money. It's a take a check for $12,500. So now there's a lot more people saying, dang, we should have applied. Even if you're not going to get the grant or not even that legitimate, you're going to get $12,500. So it just is beyond belief.
So when the money went to the Mississippi Museum that was a drug house, who pocketed the money? Do we know that yet?
Yeah, so thankfully, thanks to these public reporting, a bunch of the money was stopped. So it was allocated, but the check didn't actually arrive at these places. So we don't have to recover a bunch of stolen money. I really hope that they take a deep dive. If you fraudulently applied for money that was supposed to go to critical needs in North St. Louis, I mean, like, doggone it, it's just stealing from the most needy part of town.
Yeah.
That part's crazy. So thankfully, it would seem not much. I mean, this is $37 million. There's going to be some misappropriation, and there's going to be some grants that are probably legit, and the enterprise is going to fail, right? That's life. Nothing's going to bat 100%. But hopefully that all of this spotlight, both from the state auditor, the local press, the mayor's office, you know, enough eyes are going to get on it that's not going to happen.
And what's sad, and I'm just one guy, but my perception is I almost expect the misdeeds in the city. And one of my friends was one of the guys that went to prison. You know, we had him on the show all the time. I thought the world of him. Still consider him a friend. Haven't heard from him. But he's one of the guys that took the bribes. And at this point, I'm so jaded that when something smells like crap, I just figure it's crap.
Yeah, I know where there's this much smoke, there's some fire. And I don't know. I've said publicly, I mean, we in the city of St. Louis, the region, but certainly in the city, we just can't shoot ourselves in the foot. I mean, the need is too great. This was transformative money. It should be transformative money, and it would have been the greatest thing on earth. So this program has to work. So I'm with the mayor on that point. I mean, there's certainly blame at the mayor's office and blame at SLDC, and I think they want to get it right. I don't know that we actually have the capacity to get it right.
Hmm.
And we went outside to some company, I think it's called Grow USA. I tried to look them up on the internet, you know, offices in Philadelphia and stuff to help administer the grants. And I'm thinking, do we not have enough professional expertise? It's always like in St. Louis, right? We need a new superintendent of schools, so we go to Seattle for someone that's failing there. I'm like, we need help with administering grants, and we don't pick, I'm thinking, surely the Taylor Foundation or WashU. I mean, there are quality people here.
Smart people.
Yeah. And they know how to, you know, just determine who's a worthy grant recipient and how do you get them the money to do the most amount of good for the most amount of people.
One thing I'm surprised with the ARPA money and the RAMS money is when I found out we're getting close to $1 billion, I thought, well, the problem's going to be this is going to be allocated in a week and it's just going to go to anybody. But we're just not allocating it. I didn't think the problem would be years later that we haven't really allocated much of the money.
Boy, that's what I say. So for all of us that have lived here a long time, I mean, just take a drive around town. For me, I filled out the surveys with the city, and I did put as my first one, replace every failing water infrastructure.
Amen.
While we're tearing up the roads, I mean, if you're a homeless guy or if you're the wealthiest person in St. Louis, everybody needs clean, reliable drinking water. I don't think you'd get any pushback from that. Every 100 years, you got to replace your plumbing.
You ever been down there?
No, I've not.
I went down there.
I've seen some big holes.
Man, oh man.
It's got to be incredible. There was a huge water line collapse at 55 in Loughborough. It's still open. This was one of these, you know, the leaking had been going on for a bunch of time. They're doing all that work on 55 and it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
If it would have not been for the MoDOT construction, it would have collapsed while cars were exiting at Loughborough and 55. And again, it was, you know, just faulty. I can't even say faulty, right? It's 100-year-old.
Right.
It's just old.
Yeah.
And you got to replace it. I mean, stuff like that, repave every last street, do some beautiful facades for the small businesses, but they've got to be properly vetted.
Yeah, I said, what did I say, Wheels? I said, blacktop, make it like Six Flags.
Yeah.
Blacktop every road downtown and have a cop at every corner, and I don't care what it costs. I understand. I'm speaking like a child here. I know that, well, whatever you give to the cops, you have to keep it going, and that's going to, we're going to run out of money. But if your goal was to make St. Louis the safest downtown, if that's what you shoot for, you're probably not going to hit it, right? There's the Boca Ratons and the Laguna Beaches of the world, but you're going to raise it so much higher than it is now that it might actually make a difference.
Well, that's the whole point, right? The whole point is to take this money, which, by the way, was now, the settlement was now 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like next month, it'll be 3 years ago, and we're still talking about what it's going to be used for. But the idea is using it as an investment so that in the future, the revenues grow. Well, what you're talking about is that if you can draw businesses downtown or more attractions, more reasons for people to come, that can pay for those things you're talking about. But you can't just be like, well, we're going to do a thing, but it's not going to do anything big picture, and it's not going to lead to any future gains.
It's so complicated, but it's so simple. I tell these guys stories. I've been down here since 1990 when I graduated law school, and I was working in the Boatman's Tower back then when there's famous bar and all that stuff. And I regaled them with these stories of you had to wait anywhere to get into lunch and businessmen on every street. And what we need are people. People bring safety. Safety in numbers. Right. I've never once been walking into Busch Stadium and had my head on a swivel looking for some guy to stick me up. But a lack of people, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd, and nothing keeps a crowd away like a lack of crowd.
Yeah, it's so true. Our population, people talk about every problem we have. I remind everybody, so, not that long ago in my world, say 50 years ago, St. Louis had 750,000-800,000 people. Now we're at 278. I just filled out a survey thing yesterday. And I'm like, it's hard to keep pulling the train. There's just not enough of us pulling the train forward.
And we're not a rich city.
We're not. But we could attract, man, we've got so much cool stuff, so much potential. To me, our marketing blitz should be nationwide, even worldwide, and say, hey, you want a pretty cool city that's got a really affordable cost of living with a great sports scene, restaurant scene, music scene.
Yeah.
I just think we've got a lot to offer.
Do you think that an enigmatic leader, whether it's Tashara or it's the next mayor or someone who's not in the mayor's office, do you think that's what we're lacking, is one just full of energy above the rest of us leader?
I do. If you look at other cities, I'll pick on Kansas City, for example. Sly James was a mayor that was so popular, but he was that person, almost bigger than life. And he was just able to turn that city around to get people behind him. And whether you're talking about LaGuardia back, 60 years ago in New York, wherever you're talking, you need that magnanimous leader, I think, to bring that kind of excitement. We don't have it right now. I think the people that are in office, most I know personally, many of them are hard workers. But if you've really never built anything, if you've never really ran anything, you hate to say it, but if you never so much as run a car wash, it's tough to run a city with thousands of employees and $1 billion budget.
And
here's another $700 million to turn your city around. That's just crazy money to handle.
Yeah, that's state rep and friend of the show, Steve Butts. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Good seeing you guys. So damn easy when you
feel it's awesome. 325 DGS on KMOX. We have Lucas Kuntz coming in about 10 minutes. Dave Murray's going to be with us at 4 p.m. Guy in Missouri got called into work on his day off. He was kind of upset about it. He stopped by to get gas and a soda and bought a lottery ticket and won $1 million.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
There
nice. That's a pretty good. Now you're like, well, I don't feel so bad anymore.
Good for him.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have done it.
See, I don't resent that man.
Oh.
But if he won $500 million, I'd be resentful and not like him. You know who my latest guy is who I can't stand?
No.
You're not going to like it. Snoop Dogg. I'm so tired of him making $500,000 a night and just going flippity-do. Like, I get that he's talented. I get that he's charming. I get that he's a thing. I get it.
That's funny.
See it. I get it. But at some point, it's just like, this is not fair.
I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, but that's like literally every famous person ever. Like, Jerry Seinfeld's like that, where a lot of people are like, how many times can you say, what's the deal with that?
Get him.
The other
no,
day,
no, I'm just saying, I don't think Dave's wrong. I'm just saying, I think I get sick of people all the time, too. Just different people.
Yeah.
The other day, I was trying to leave work, and the person who sped to get in front of me in line to leave the garage didn't have their parking card.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So they're sitting there.
Oh, that sucks.
Trying to call the garage, and, you know, they never answer.
Yeah, right.
So it's seriously like 10 minutes going by, and I was getting mad. But then I'm like, you know what? This could be saving me from, like, getting into a car accident or something. So I just try to think of it in that way.
Yeah. I cope like that, too.
But it also could do the opposite. Like, that's equal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Equal chances.
Yes.
Did they seem sheepish or look to you for advice?
Didn't care. But it was just like they were in a hurry to get out of there, but they didn't have any way of getting out. It's like,
what would you do in that spot?
If first nobody's of all, I wouldn't cut in front of someone.
Well,
but if I were sitting there like that, as I have, I get out of the car and I say, this is the worst parking lot in the city. This happens all the time. I've called the person. They're on their way.
I would also say, if you back up a little, I'll back up and move so you can go through.
Yeah, someone did that for us the other day.
Yeah.
Someone who was on the show. I forgot who it was. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camel X. Happy Thursday to you. About 3:33 in the afternoon. So we met and became friends with Lieutenant Colonel Lucas Kuntz along the campaign way. He's back with us again. Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, dude. Excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to be working with you tomorrow night. You're going to be doing a campaign stop. I guess the big draw is going to be Mr. Andy Cohen. That's pretty exciting.
What can I say? He's big time. I'm just along for the ride, man.
He's about as big as St. Louis gets these days,
he's
right?
He's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. So Andy's going to be there. I'm going to be hosting tomorrow evening, kind of give everyone the particulars in case they want to show up.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we're having it. Now I got to pull out my phone and get out the calendar.
So yeah, you're going to Monroe City after this?
Yeah, we're going to Monroe City tonight and then scooting back over here. And then tomorrow, it's at, there it is, 6:30 at the Sheet Metal Workers, Smart Local Union number 36. And Google it up. Come on down.
It's a nice venue.
It's a great venue. It's the second event we've had there. Yeah. We actually filmed one of our commercials there, too.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
So you look good. You look like you're feeling good.
I feel great, man. I mean, we're going everywhere. We're getting good rallies. We were down in Herculaneum last night. Had a good crowd out there at the AmVets. And again, Monroe City tonight, St. Louis tomorrow, and then just keep on jamming, man.
Yeah.
We're going to do this thing.
We were just saying off the air, I think at minimum, now I don't know Josh Hawley, so I don't know his ins and outs and his peccadillos, but I think he's scared in the way that Trump's scared.
Oh, well, I can't get in the man's head either, but he's obviously scared. I mean, he finally, after 55 days of not being in the state, came back and, had a couple public events with Harrison Butker, flying around in their private jet and talking about how beautiful it is when women just step aside.
Step aside.
Yeah, step
aside. If you wouldn't mind, just step it aside.
Yeah, well, that's their campaign platform, folks. So if that were my campaign platform, I'd tell you what, I'd be scared
and
too,
you're
man.
You're the crazy one.
I'm nuts.
Crazy,
it's nuts, but it's Kuntz, man. women having jobs, it's nuts, but it's Kuntz.
I mean, one of your ads talks about that Mr. Blunt brought home like 300-something million and that Josh Hawley hasn't brought back any. That just seems impossible.
It's a real unique characteristic for a U.S. senator to not bring any money back to their home state. And Roy Blunt, over $300 million a year each of his last years in office. I think it was $362 million his last year. And Josh Hawley is a zero every single year. And, that's $2 billion over the next 6 years.
He seems too smart for that.
You know, well, he thinks he's the, quote, national senator from Missouri, and it's just not his job, I guess, which, wow. You know, I disagree with, and I'm pretty sure the people in Missouri disagree with,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he or you is there to be the voice, for one of the two voices in the Senate for the state of Missouri on a national level. But, I mean, we've made fun of for decades, oh, they're just there to bring back pork. We'll bring back a little pork. You know?
Well, yeah, man. Well, the thing is that this, like, not bringing money to the state, that doesn't, like, help the deficit or anything. No. That money is appropriated. Yeah. And so if you don't bring it back, it's going to Illinois, it's going to Kansas, it's going to California, it's going to New York. And our communities here in Missouri need that. Like, we're suffering. I mean, we can't afford another 6 years of Josh Hawley. That's $2 billion. And I can tell you, I got personal experience with that. You know, I grew up in a great working class neighborhood. When my family went bankrupt, we made it because the people there, they just took care of us, brought food by the house, everything. And if you go back there today, the first house I lived in is an empty lot. The one that, you know, I signed my Marine Corps papers out of that everybody brought food by, it's boarded up to keep the squatters out. And the store on the corner was shut down because it was robbed so many times it couldn't get insurance. Like, that's Josh Hawley's Missouri. He's not bringing the money back, and I just think it's wrong. That's my top, honestly, at this point, that's my top priority when I get in.
We had a chef in who did a recipe book about Missouri food. And we were saying, I was saying that, you know, every day I get my national show prep. And one thing's for sure, if it's about the state of Missouri, it's about some guy marrying a goat. It's nothing good. And it is our turn. I really do feel like this. We have such cool things in Missouri. We have great restaurant culture. We have great sporting events. We have great cultural things. We have great neighborhoods, Kansas City, St. Louis, across the entire state. And I, for one, I grew up on the east side, but I've been in Missouri, you know, since I was a young man. It's our time. It is our time to step up and stop being so self-deprecating and having such a inferiority complex and stand up and be proud of who we are.
Yeah, man, we're taking power back this fall. We're going to do it. I mean, we're going to win this election. And gosh, I wish I knew you're going to have a guy with recipe stuff on, like Missouri recipe. I mean, my mom's chicken and dumplings. I'm going to tell you what, dude. Yeah. And she always said, this is poor people's food. But that's the best stuff, if you ask me, man.
S on a shingle was my favorite thing growing up.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, this one, I'm not sure how much good it's going to do Lucas Kuntz outside the DGS, but it certainly solidifies the DGS. Lucas plays Magic the Gathering. So
That's true. We were talking about that in here earlier.
So, Andrew, what do you think about that?
Very exciting. You never have
just cool a peer
people
now.
That like this
you
stuff.
Know,
yes.
He's just a peer.
Well, he's telling me I got to go down to Tower Grove and play, right? Is
he's
that
actually
the deal?
My superior. He's a much higher rank.
Well, it's Lucas Coates.
Yeah. So,
you know. You should challenge him, Andrew.
You guys are just embarrassing me now. You're being too sweet.
I bet you're way better at Magic than Hawley or Jared Young. So
almost guarantee it.
Almost guarantee that. You got that going for you. So I wanted to give you a chance because we've all seen your ads. We've all seen Hawley's ads. And you want to abandon Ukraine. And you want open borders, and I just want to give you a chance to say that these things are not true.
Yeah, he's just, look, the guy's afraid of his record. He's making everything up because he doesn't have anything to run on, right? If you look at his ads, he hasn't done a single ad, like for a sitting U.S. senator to not do a single ad about what he's done for this state and what it brings back, I mean, that is mind-blowing to me, and it's just because he hasn't done anything. You know, the only thing he's done is make $500,000 for himself writing self-help books about manhood, you know? And it's just, like, dude, don't treat us like flyover country. Step aside, write your books, do your thing, but let us have a U.S. senator who's going to bring money home, take care of us, and understand the state. And so, yeah, I mean, he's going to make it all up. You know, we try to counter as best we can by saying, you know, he's telling lies about you. Here's me. Here's what I'm going to do for the state. Here's what I want to do. And
you know, one thing I learned when I was a lawyer and even more 24 years in the air is that subtlety is always going to lose out to someone being ham-fisted in the short term. If it's going to take you 30 minutes to tell me about your border policy and someone can just scream, build the wall and make Mexico pay for it, they're going to win in the short term with intellectually lazy people.
Well, the thing here is that Josh Hawley is literally a cartoon villain. And so people in the state generally don't have warm feelings for him. I mean, you know, we were down in Palm de Terre on the Palm de Terre River the other day, and there's a big meatpacking plant down there that was polluting everybody's water. And so we go down there, and, you know, I'm meeting there in a basically a big metal prefab building on a farm, and because the community there is really fighting back against this meat sludge that's just getting dumped into their streams. They can't drink out of their wells. It's actually a really sad story. And I did some work against Big Ag, so they invited me down. And you know, we get down there, and the the person who's kind of hosting it, you know, the first thing she says is, you know, we just want you to know that down here we love the governor. And I'm like, well, I don't know if she's talking about the Lynyrd Skynyrd song or if, you know, she's talking about the current governor who's not up for re-election. I don't know what that is, but I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be bad for me, right? And I was like, well, that's cool. You know, I got nothing to do with the governor, so let's talk for a little bit. And we start going over things and how we can fix the situation. And a little while later, she gets up and she's like, now, hold on just a second here. Everybody just stop. Just stop for a second. Everybody gets quiet. And she's like, I just, you know, I think I can speak for everyone when I say that we really like you.
<That's>
I was like, well, that's nice. Thank you.
That's sweet.
And she's like, so, but we got to know again, who are you running against? And I'm like, oh, she must have been worried about the governor, right? And I'm like, well, I'm running against this guy named Josh Hawley. She interrupts me. She's like, oh, my God, I bleeping hate that guy. And then she's like, wait a second. Did you do that video, Run, Josh, Run, where you make fun of him for running away on January 6th? And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking to myself, how on earth did she ever see that video, right? And I'm like, yeah, that was our video. She's like, oh, my God, that was hilarious. We all passed that around the office, right? And it's just, the guy is as bad as you can possibly get. And my record, you know, growing up middle class, going bankrupt from medical bills, understanding how everyday people live and, you know, serving for 13 years in the Marine Corps, trying to pay everybody back. That's the contrast that we can make. It's very simple. It's very clean. And it's what's going to win this race for us.
So I'm sure you win and you go to D.C., it'll be like, you know, drinking out of a fire hose. But how has this experience been so far, just being a normal guy, you know, serving in the Marine Corps, and now you're running for the Senate? What has the campaigning experience been for you?
Dude, it has been crazy. So when I started this campaign, I had one very clear principle that I was never going to break, and that was the only people I ever want to owe in this campaign are the folks in my old neighborhood and other Missourians like them who saved my family when we were going bankrupt from medical bills. And so I decided not to take any money from corporate PACs, no money from federal lobbyists, no money from big pharma executives. You know, we had a list. And I can tell you right now, the election Illuminati or whatever, you campaign people all over were like, you know, it's impossible to run a campaign doing that. One lady very clearly said, that's stupid, and then refused to work with me. And it's just, you know, I think it's impossible to represent the people you're supposed to represent if you do take that money. We see it over and over again. You see it with Josh Hawley. You know, they just, these weak-minded, ambitious, hungry politicians, they sell out and literally let people strip our communities for parts. And so I'll tell you, being a normal guy, again, you know, I got no family money, right? Like, my mom got cancer a few years ago, and she was working an hourly job. She had to move in with us because, you know, that's what happens when you're working an hourly job. You don't got family money, you get cancer. And it's just, you know, and being a Marine for forever, it was really hard to try to break in. Like, it is tough to have. The reason we got such kooks in Congress is because it's hard to run for Congress if you don't sell out or you don't come from a certain area. And I'm just, you know, we figured out how to do it, you know, $5, $10, $15, $30 at a time. We figured out how to raise money. You know, folks all around the state, all 114 counties and the city of St. Louis have invested in this race because they want to take power back for themselves. And it's just, you know, what started out as a challenge has just become the most beautiful experience where so many Missourians are coming together to take power back for themselves because they don't want guys like Josh Hawley deciding how they get to live.
So tomorrow evening, 6:30 p.m., Sheet Metal Workers, I will be hosting the event. Come out and meet Lucas in person, shake his hand, look him in the eye, see what you think. Andy Cohen's going to be there, promises to be a whole lot of fun. Everywhere Andy shows up is going to be a lot of fun. Thanks again for inviting me to do that. I appreciate it. Good to see you again.
No, we're so excited about it. I can't wait for it. We'll see you tomorrow. And everybody out there, I hope we'll see you tomorrow, too.
Welcome back, DGS 350. Rach wanted to get a picture with Lucas Kuntz, and Wheels and I said, it's a beautiful picture, but you really missed the opportunity to have him take that picture with just your head on a table.
You could still Photoshop the body out.
That would have been an excellent prank by Wheels if he was like, I got a great picture of you and possibly the future senator, and then it's just my face. Mrs. Potato Head, part two.
Like he's holding on a silver platter. Can I get a picture of Rachel's head?
Oh my gosh. We should do that at the next DGS Live. Just like have a cutout.
Yeah, do one of those.
See, now you can do them at like the theme parks, but it's
smart.
Just a black screen.
Yeah, that's really
just
smart.
The faces out there.
I like that. That's good.
$5 for Operation Food Search.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
You can make that happen. I got nothing.
Yeah, that was. It's been a great show. It's been moving, it's been chugging by.
Yeah, they don't need more good show.
Yeah, we can just play some music and jam.
At some point, can't you just
hold on? I'll do the Trump dance.
Please don't.
Just play some jams, Andrew. Throw it on.
Looks like he's taking care of a couple giraffes.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why, but that...
I'm not the only one that sees it.
Hey.
You are the only one that sees it.
No.
There's three of us in here.
Leo sees it now, right?
I mean... He's not going to say that about himself.
It's just, but no, it's funny. It was funny.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Lucas Coots is going to call in and be like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, you guys... Yeah.
We don't really need you.
We don't need an MC tomorrow. We're good.
How about him playing the same game as Andrew?
That is
that
so
was
crazy.
So funny. I walked over there as that was being discovered, right? Because Andrew walks in to go get them, and Lucas is like, all right, before I come in, though, first I need to know whose Cheez-It box is that with the Magic the Gathering. And Andrew's like, well, that would be mine. And he was like, I'm a player. And they had this big exchange, and I was like, man, I witnessed history.
See, I'm telling you, I've said this before. Everyone should learn to play golf, because if you are the mailroom guy, and you're in a foursome with a CEO, but you have like a 5 handicap,
yeah.
You're the man.
Yes.
And, like, I'm sure when that happened, they were just colleagues discussing Magic the Gathering. It's kind of cool.
It was. It was,
this guy
it was
who
like,
could be the next
It was a great discovery.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he. I was just showing him everything he wanted to see.
Did you get his number?
No, I was scared to ask.
So, if you'd ever like to get together and discuss strategies.
You know, maybe trade cards.
He knows his stuff, man. He's
number 9 in the world.
Yeah.
He's what?
Yeah, he was mythic number 9 on Magic Arena, which means that he was number 9 from the top.
Wow!
So he was in the top 10 highest ranked players.
You should hire him to teach you.
He should do coach. I told him, I was like, man, you'd get so many votes if you streamed.
He could be your sensei.
If you streamed playing Magic, people would love to watch that. I'd watch it.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Do you trade cards in that?
You can.
Is that a way of building your deck? Can you like, I got this and you don't and we can do that?
Yeah, I mean, you don't do that, like, during a game, but you could do
right,
it.
Right,
like, wow, you just brought up, like, a core memory for me. So my dad collected baseball cards my whole childhood, and then when we first got, like, the internet and eBay, I guess it was eBay, but he would trade cards with people mm-hmm. online, and we would always, like, get, like, in the the hard plastic
yeah.
sleeve.
Yep.
I haven't thought about mm-hmm. that in so long.
The top loaders.
I trade you a Steve Carlton for a Ricky Henderson.
I can't handle those things. Like, for years, I would buy a 1 ounce gold piece for the kids to put in their Christmas stockings.
Oh.
So to have them in the future. Now it's 2,600. You know, mm-hmm. I bought them at like 1,200. Now they're 2,600. So I look pretty smart there. But I always wanted to take them out of their little holders and touch them. Because I guess they're maybe worth more if they're like uncirculated.
Yep.
But I just want to lick them and thumb them and trump them.
Yep. Are they
wanting me? This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.